your word. I know, Father, your words will just fill us up, Father. We're going to take in every word, and we're going to allow your Holy Spirit just to work in our minds and our hearts. And whatever we are convicted of, we pray we're going to move on your word. And it's your Holy Spirit that will show us what we need to do. And we're going to say, yes, Lord, we're going to do it. We're going to obey. So we truly know we're becoming more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And that is truly our heart's desire. So we just surrender this time unto you. We want to magnify you. We want to give you all the glory. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. And everyone says,
amen. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see y'all again. Yeah. It's great to be here with you all today. Greetings from Charlotte, North Carolina. We used to be in Texas, but God drew us a little bit closer to the east side. And it's always a real privilege to come back here to share with you from God's word. And it's an awesome time. We just had a great time in the park yesterday, and we know that God has some things to share with us today. So I'm going to pray one more time. Father God, we thank you, God, for this church family. Thank you that you know each person's name. You know their hearts. You know them so well. And God, we just pray today that your word would speak to them in a powerful way, God. Help us to know your heart better today. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart may be pleasing to you. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The message of today, the title is called Dirty Work, and we'll get to unpacking that in a little bit. But I'd like to start today's message by talking about a TV show. It's called Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, okay? How many people have ever heard that show? Anybody watch it before? Yeah, basically you get on this TV show and you have a chance to answer a question. That sounds so simple, right? Except that these are not easy questions like what's your name, right? And basically you answer enough questions and you can win $1 million, right? And it is a popular TV show because so many people would love to become a millionaire, right? I mean, think about it. I mean, what are some of the benefits of what would happen if you were a millionaire? Anybody? Well, what do you think? What are some good things that could happen? What's that?
Travel.
You could travel. Yeah, absolutely, right? Yeah, my wife and I always talk about going to Australia someday, right? Only problem is Australia has a flip season and it's a little expensive, right? But travel is one thing you could do. What else could you do? Could you quit your job maybe? For some people, that's the idea, right? You wouldn't need a boss maybe. What else?
Huh?
You could print Bibles, yeah. Think of how many Bibles you could print with $1 million, right? Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah? Anything else? What's that? Sure, you could go to retreats, you could go to vacations, you could have a chance to do the things you want to do, right? You think, right? Except, yeah, buy the things you want. Yeah, not to worry about what's going to come due at the end of the month, right? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. All this stuff. And I think there's all these things that you know, we think about, if only I was a millionaire, right? You know, and one of the big things is we think if we're a millionaire, you know, we don't have to do the dirty work anymore. We can hire someone else to do it, right? But, you know, sometimes we know the reality. You know, if you actually know people who are really, really wealthy, you know that it's not as a charm to life as it sounds, because you know you have a lot of bills, you have bigger bills, you have more things you have to worry about. And to be honest, if you're a millionaire, you have more things to lose than the average person. And that's a lot of things. I mean, can you imagine the things in your life and the things you worry about? Oh, what if this goes away? Well, if you're a millionaire, you have a lot of things that can go away. You know, I think I told this story before. About 20 years ago, my wife and I were in Texas, and we used to have a small account in this bank, and you know, we would check the paper account back then, and I remember, you know, when we'd check it, we'd see it would have, you know, a change of a deposit, a few hundred dollars, or a few hundred dollars withdrawal. But there's one time we looked at it, and we said, hey, what's this, honey? Look, there's this exact time we got a deposit of $1.2 million. I said, that's kind of good. But then we saw, like, oh, wait. But a half a second later, they took out the $1.2 million plus interest. Okay, I said, "What is that?" You know. So I called them up. And I said, "What happened?" They said, "Oh no, sorry, it was a mistake. It just got put there temporarily." I said, "It's okay. You can leave it longer if you want next time." You know. But I said, "Man, you know, so easy come, easy go, right? You know, being a millionaire seems to be overrated sometimes, right? But you know what? I mentioned all this because, you know, I think generally our society thinks, man, you know, we would love to be in a place where we don't have to do the dirty work anymore, where we have enough assets where we can let someone else do the dirty work. I remember reading a Time article. The headline was, Robots Do Our Dirty Work. And the idea was to talk about how all these robots are now taking over. People are buying these robots so that we don't have to do dirty work anymore, right? So if you don't like to vacuum your floor, how many people don't like to vacuum? Anybody? Yeah, you have the Roomba, right? This little robot goes around. He just sucks up all the dirt. If you don't like to mop your floor, you have the Scuba, the Roomba's cousin, right? And he basically goes around, drops water, and he cleans up the floor for you. And then they got new robots that can bring you your coffee, make you coffee in the morning, bring it to you, all these things that you don't want to do, they're finding ways to create robots so you don't have to do it. And you know, the thing is, it reminds me that the attitude in our society, and nothing wrong with robots per se, but the attitude is, man, I don't want to do these jobs. I want someone else to do it. I want someone else to serve. And I want to be the one who just receives, okay? But in the kingdom of God, it's a very different way of thinking. In the kingdom of God, it's not about trying to get away from serving. It's not trying to get away from the dirty work. But what it is to say, we understand that as Christians, we have the privilege, we get to serve. We get the chance to pour our life out, to build up others, to serve them, just as Jesus Christ did also, right? Let me read to you our main verse today. It says in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says, "For even the Son of Man," let's read it together, 1, 2, 3, go. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Mark 10, verse 45. You know what? If the President of the United States were to come here today, or if like the Queen of England or any king of some other country were to come, I almost guarantee you, they would come and the red carpet would be thrown out and they would expect to be served because they're such a high position. They say, you know what? I'm so important, people should gather around me and serve me. But listen, when it says here, the Son of Man, which I tell you is a far bigger position than any president, than any queen, than any king or politician, right? He says, the Son of Man did not come to be served. He did not come so that we put out the red carpet, we do all these things, but he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know what? We say we are Christians. What does it mean to be Christians? Being a Christian does not mean that you're just a person that goes to church on Sunday. It doesn't even mean that you're a person that reads the Bible. A Christian at the heart is a person who follows Jesus Christ, who looks at the model of Jesus Christ and says, how can I be more like him? Because I want to follow him. I remember a famous pastor once said, you know, when people, there was a blessing in the Jewish culture. Because they used to follow the rabbis, right? And the blessing was, may you, who are follower, always be covered in the dust of the rabbi. In other words, may you follow him so closely, right, that as he kicks up the dust, it would cover you. You want to follow him that closely. In the same way, let's follow our Savior closely. Sometimes Christians, it's so easy to follow from a distance. We're like, oh, I see Jesus. He's over there, about half a mile away. Yeah, I see him. I think he's smiling. I think I'll smile today a little, okay? And we think, oh, that's good. But we want to follow him. We want to know what he's doing, what's on his heart today. How many of you know that Jesus has something to say to you today? That he is something he's calling you to do that not someone else to do, but for you to do. And he wants you to fulfill that. He wants you to serve him this way. Are you watching the master that closely? That's what we want to. We want to follow him because we know that he is not someone who said, look at me, serve me. He's saying, I've come to serve. How will you serve, right? The kingdom of God is looking for a new breed of servants, a new kind of servants in this world. The world says, you know, we don't want to be servants. We don't want to do the dirty work. But in the kingdom of God, God is saying, who wants to be like my people? Who wants to be a follower of my son, Jesus Christ? All right? Who wants to be the kind of servant who gladly listens to the master's voice? Who wants to be a servant who do the things that other people won't do, but you do it for the benefit of others, right? Now here's the thing. If you've been a Christian for a while, you probably agree with what I'm saying. You're probably saying, wow, Pastor Wallen, he's right on. He's talking about we need to serve, okay? But let me tell you this. God is not so much interested in you agreeing with me as much as you obeying what God is telling you to do, okay? The good servant is not someone who says, oh, that's good. I like that. I like that, you know? I'm going to remember that. I mean, we should remember God's words, but more than that, the good servant obeys. The good servant says, that's what the master said. This is the opportunity, and I'm going to take it. All right, by faith, because we need God to do everything that He calls us to do. Right? Let me read to you another verse here. Philippians 2, verse 5-8. Let me just read for the sake of time. It says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage." Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. May this church family, I'm talking to you guys, may you be a church that's known as people who are servants of the living God, right? Who are willing to obey, even when it costs us something, right? Sometimes it's so easy to serve when it doesn't cost us much. You know, we serve, we do this, we do that, and it's just, you know, we feel good and all this. But there will be a time, you know, where we may be asked to do something that will cost us, that will be painful. But it is exactly what the world needs. It's exactly what your neighbors who don't know Christ need, to serve them. I have a neighbor where I live in Charlotte. My neighborhood, I did not know this, but we're surrounded by a lot of Chinese families, surrounded by a lot of Hindu Indian families. And as I've been trying to get to know some of them, sometimes it's hard because I'm from Texas. So, you know, for me, the Texan way to make friends is, hey, come on over. Let's have a big barbecue. Let's have a lot of steaks and stuff. But when I approach my Hindu neighbors and I talk to them, they're like, we're vegetarians. And I'm like, oh, what do I do? You know, this is so hard for a Texan, okay? So I said, hey, you know what? Let me learn to grill vegetables, okay? Let's redo this, okay? And so, you know, it's not easy, but sometimes we need to say, you know, if we really are serious at serving people, you know, maybe we need to learn not to cook beef and we need to do something else. Not because of what I prefer, but what other people need. A servant is always looking at what the other person needs, not just what we prefer, right? Okay, so today, the rest of the message, I want to talk about how we should respond. If we are truly Christians who are like Jesus Christ, who are at the core, not just people who serve, but people who are servants in our hearts. Because God, Jesus Christ came to be a servant, to do the ultimate things, to do the dirty work so that people would be blessed, right? How should we respond? I'm going to mention three things, and you can fill it out. They're blanks, I think, on your bulletin. The first thing we should do is that throughout our life as a Christian, we should watch and learn to serve from the Master, Jesus Christ. We should watch and learn to serve, okay, Jesus, right? Let me read to you Luke 22, verse 24 to 27. Luke chapter 22, verses 24 to 27. It says, "A dispute, an argument, arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest." So the followers of Jesus are arguing, who is the greatest, okay? "And Jesus said to them, 'The king of the Gentiles lorded over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. For I am among you as one who serves." Brothers and sisters, let's remember that. Jesus Christ did many things in his life. He was a teacher, he preached, he healed, he did miracles, he set people free. But he said, you know what? Don't look at me as just this. I am a servant. I am among you as one who serves. And if our master is a servant, then how much more so those who are his followers? How much more so should we be as servants in this world, right? I want you to think about this. You know, as Christians, what do you see yourself as? If someone said to you, "What is the dominant metaphor for you as a Christian?" Some of us might say, "Well, I'm a redeemed one." Well, that's true. I'm a saint because my sins are forgiven. That's true. If you are a Christian, that means you're a son or a daughter of God. That's true. But have you ever considered that part of your identity is a servant? We're here in this world to serve this world. We're not just here to do our own thing until we go home to heaven and spend the rest of the vacation with Jesus, right? We're here on earth for a reason. A friend of mine used to say, you know what? If all God cared about was sending us to heaven, then at the moment we trust in Christ, he would just kill us so that we couldn't sin anymore and just take us home, right? If that's all he cared about, right? But he loves you. And he knows that you are exactly the person that someone else in this world needs. Someone else in this world today, somewhere in Oahu, needs someone who can touch their lives and serve them in such a way that they will see Jesus Christ is real. God is alive in this place. This person says he knows God. What does it mean? Right? You know, there are a lot of preachers on the road today, people who are, you know, walking around carrying signs, you know, like the end is coming and all this. And you know what? That may be their calling, and they will reach certain people who need to hear that. But there are many people who need to hear that God loves them because somebody, a Christian, is willing to serve them. Are you willing to be that person? Are you willing to be light in such a way, right? We can watch and learn to serve by looking at Jesus Christ. And I think I gave the challenge yesterday. Perhaps you've already read the Gospels. How many people have read through the whole Gospels in the New Testament? Okay, a few people? I would challenge you, read through the Gospels. But as you read through it, ask yourself, how is Jesus serving others? How is he serving? And I think you'll be surprised that as you walk through, he is constantly keeping in mind the things of the Father and the things of the people around him. He has come to serve. He says, I have come to seek and to save the lost. Why does he care to save them? Because he is trying to serve them in a way so that they are not trapped by life, trapped by sin, trapped by Satan, okay? Watch and learn from him. Second point, another way we can respond to the truth that we are to be servants is not only can we watch Jesus Christ and learn to serve, but we want to join in the work to serve others. At the end of the day, servants don't just look at other people serving. That's helpful, okay? Okay, you know, you want to watch the master servant who is Jesus Christ, but you want to get in the game, right? There's a time to watch the Michael Jordan tapes and watch it and pick up the moves, and there's a time to put the tape aside and get on the court and slam dunk, okay, or whatever you do, okay? You know, to actually get in the game, okay? So, to be servants, we want to make sure we join in the work. In 1 Corinthians 10:24, it says, let no one seek his own good but that of his neighbor. In other words, you know, ask yourself, what is the good that my neighbor needs? How can I serve them? And go and do it. I shared a story yesterday. You know, when I arrived in Charlotte, we had about 20, 30 youth, and praise God, that group has grown now. It's about 50 or 60 youth, and one of the things that God's been doing is we've been learning how to serve, okay? We've been learning how to serve the least, the last, and the lost in our city. And you know, how many of you know that young people don't always like to hang out with senior citizens, okay? That's not their favorite thing to do. They'd rather be playing Xbox or rather be outside. But just spending time with older people is not. In America, we're not taught to respect older people. We're not taught to love them. And I said, you know what? What a great way to teach them how to serve. And so I said, come on, let's go out to a senior citizen area and let's serve them. And so we said, how can we do this? And so we learned that in a lot of places, youth groups come all the time. But what they do is they come by, they sing a song, and it's bye-bye, okay, and they're done. Because they don't really want to spend time with them. And I said, we're going to do something different. So the night before we went out, we said, let's make some gifts for them. Because they always love to get some personal gifts. And my wife, in fact, she helped make these personal paper, was it paper flowers, tissue flavor, not flavor, tissue paper flowers. And we made a basket of it. So we got there that day. It was about 20 kids, 20 youth. And the senior citizens were so happy. They love to see these young people, right? All bright and smiley. And they started to sing worship songs. And you know, Joseph was like one of our leaders. And we just sang with our whole heart about how we love Jesus Christ and how much Jesus Christ can do for them. And that was a ray of blessing for them. But at the end of that, you know, we said, oh, we're not done. And we'd like to gather people to go give out gifts. And so a lot of our youth went out and they just gave out these gifts, either cards or flowers. But then we didn't end the serving there. Then I told my kids, okay, remember, after the gift, sit down with them. Ask them, what's your story? You know, tell us about your life. And I'm telling you, when we started to see the kids, and the kids were a little nervous at first, but you know, some of them just went up and went to an old person, pretend my brother's old person, yeah. And they just said, oh, so you know, what's going on? And they would just hold their hand and listen. And this went on for 15, 20 minutes. And then I said, finally, if they're willing, pray for them. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, seeing these young teenagers actually asking them to share their stories and listening and then holding a hand, praying for them, a blessing. How many of these old people, just tears coming down their eyes. They cannot believe, because they would say, God remembers me. These kids remind me that God sees me. I don't always see my family. I don't always see the people that I know, but I've been reminded that God is here and God loves me. And I know that we went there several times, and every time the nurses, the people who spend time with the community servant, they would be watching and they would start crying. And they're like, we've never seen people serve this way. And you know what? May your church be the kind of church that as you serve people, as you go and do things, they'll say, what a wonderful church, what an amazing church that serves such a powerful way, shows the love of God, the power of God, okay? So get in the game. Join in the work to serve others. The third thing I want to mention is this. Another way we can respond to the truth that we are to be servants is this. Honor those who serve others diligently. Honor those who serve others diligently. The reason is, if we say serving is important, we're going to honor the things that we say are important, right? If we value money, we're going to honor the people that have money. If we value good looks in our church, right? Like your good-looking pastor, right? Then you're going to honor those who are good-looking, right? But if we say we value serving, that God's heart is one of a servant, then we want to honor people who serve, right? The verse here I brought up is 1 Timothy 5:17. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. Now, this is talking specifically about elders, but just even generally, when people serve well, we should honor them. What are some ways to honor? I'm going to give you three suggestions. There's more than that. But one way is as simple as saying thank you, right? When people serve well, when people are setting up the chairs or setting up the food or helping clean up or getting up to preach and teach, we should be people who are thankful, right? Because God has brought them into your life at such a time as this to bless you, to strengthen you, okay? It's no accident when God brings a good thing into your life. Do you believe this? It's not, you know, everyone here that's here today is here because God has led you here. You may not even think that, but God has brought you here because he wants to bless you in some way today. Okay? And as he uses, he doesn't just use one person. He doesn't want to use just two people. He wants to use the body of Christ, right? I could do a whole series about how the church, the local church, is meant to be a body, right? You know, you need the whole body to work together. I'm very aware of what happens when you lose a vital part of your body, okay? I'm a right-handed person. When I lost my right hand, all of a sudden I said, well, everything is harder, okay? I can't write. I can't drive. I can't. There's a lot of things that are so much harder. I can't even eat, right? I know a few weeks ago, my wife and I, we went out to for steak dinner. And I love eating steak. But then as I sat down, I realized, how am I going to cut this steak? And I had to humbly ask my son or my wife, can you please cut my meat for me? And they would cut my whole steak into little bitty pieces. Then I could eat it, right? And I was like, oh, But thank God that they're, you know, part of the family, right? In the same way, you know, if you, maybe you're a right hand in this church body, maybe you're a foot, maybe you're a nose, maybe you're eye, you need to serve, you need to do your part, otherwise the whole body suffers. The Apostle Paul talks about this, right? It's not an option. It's so much harder when we lose an important part of the body, okay? So say thank you often, right? Say it from the heart. Because sometimes that's the person who's serving may be feeling discouraged. They may be feeling that no one remembers, no one sees them. And you may be the person that helps to say, remind them, God sees what I'm doing. And I'm going to keep doing it because I feel encouraged, okay? So let's do that. Another thing I want to mention is pray, right? Ben and a lot of different leaders pray for people in this body, I'm sure. I know it because it's a value of this church. But do you get a chance to pray for those who are serving you? You know, you may think, oh, well, you know, they're the spiritual ones. No. If you are a child of God, you can boldly approach the throne of grace. That's what the Bible tells us in Hebrews. We can go and talk to him, and he hears us. Whether or not we've been to seminary or not, been to Bible school or not, he hears us. And when you say, you know, I'm going to pray for my pastor today, and I want to pray for him, Ben, are you going to turn someone down who wants to pray for you?
No.
But that's such a great way to pray for a pastor. Or pray for anyone who's serving. It doesn't have to be your pastor, right? But who is serving among you today? How can you pray for them? You know, you could either let them know you can pray for them later, but even better is to say, can I just pray for you right now, right? You know, how can I pray for you, right? And there's power in that moment that God meets with you and God can bring about healing, God can bring about deliverance, God can bring about encouragement. A third thing, because we're running out of time, is not only can you give thanks, not only can you pray, but you know what? Just continue to be able to walk in faith, right? You want to encourage them by saying, you know what? I see what God's doing in my life. Okay, and I praise God for that. So let me be more specific. When me and Ben preach, for example, right? You know, inevitably, some people come up and say, hey, good message, okay? And that's great. We appreciate that. But you know what really blesses our heart, really feels like honors God, is that when people say, you know what? I really get what you're saying. I want to follow God. I want to do, that's exactly what I needed. And when people start to walk out what God is saying to them through a person who's speaking for God, that is one of the things that encourages them the most. Because, you know, like people who are called to speak in the body, you know what? We don't get up here to hone our speech craft, right? We're not here to win any TED Talk awards, right? We're here because God's given us something that, you know, even before I get up to speak, over the last 20 years, I almost always pray. I say, God, let my motivation be to love these people. I don't know everybody here, but I want to love them by sharing with them what God needs them to hear today, and that will bless them. God, give me a bigger heart to love them. And nothing blesses our heart. I know Ben, it's probably true for Ben too, that when we hear how God is working in your heart, right? It's not just a good message, but God is moving your heart. That is such a blessing, right? Did I lose my... Okay. I want to say something else. I have one more point after this, but I just want to say this. You know, my brother Ben was saying how he's so encouraged that this church family, you guys have been stepping on faith, you know, starting to think about and pray for your neighbors. Talk to your neighbors, right? To be a light to them. And I want to continue to encourage you, right? That as you do this, think about how you can serve your neighbors more. Okay, it's not just doing one thing, you know. Okay, I shared the gospel. Whew, that's good. I'm done. Okay. It's about saying, how can I serve them? Okay, how can? Give me an example. My neighbor, one of the families next door, they're right next to us, and their kids play with my daughter. They play basketball. Okay, and so one day we noticed that they shoot on both baskets, but it happened that their basket, the net got torn up. You know, I don't know. Maybe my daughter was slam dunking too much or something. I don't know. Okay. And I was like, you know what? I want to bless them. So I just went to Amazon and I said, how much does it cost for a new net? No, that's nothing, right? got 2-day shipping, got the net, and then I went and I talked to the son. I said, hey, can I put it up for you? And he said, oh yeah. So I put it up, and they were so blessed by that. I mean, who does that, right? But I said, you know, and they actually caught me. Said they caught me later on and says, hey, thank you for doing that. I said, hey, no problem. I said, you know what? You guys are such a blessing to the neighborhood. They you know, all the kids play there just like at our house, and I just thought it'd be nice. And they said, wow, awesome. So how can you serve your neighbors? Start taking the next step, because you want to be able to share the gospel. That you want to share how good Jesus is. What better way than to show the generosity of Christ through your life, right? Continue to disciple them. When you get a chance, have spiritual conversations with them. When you get a chance, invite them to your church family, right? The churches that grow are the ones who are glad to be a part of the family. Who say, man, I love my neighbor so much, I want them to enjoy what it's like to be a part of this family. Man, we can adopt them, be a part of this family, right? And when you have that heart, man, people start to come and they're like, wow, there's such love here, right? There's such a heart of servants, right? So let's do that. I'm going to wrap up this time with the final point here, which is the ultimate service. And this goes back to our first point. It says, the Son of Man, in Mark 10:45, says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And in the context of serving, he says that the greatest act of service that Jesus did was he gave his life as a ransom for many. What good news. What amazing news. The God who is the creator of all the universe, the one who sustains life every single month for each one of us, the one who's all wise and all great, at the end of the day, he loves you, each of you so much that he said, I am willing. I see their sin. I see the past, the sins of today, the sins of tomorrow, but I love them so much. I am willing to go to the cross to die for them because I want to serve them. If it was all about God being all powerful, you know, being a dictator, being all mean, he would say, oh man, they're such sinners. They're such rebels. They deserve to just die forever. That's not the harvest servant. The harvest servant says, how can I serve them? How can I be a person that lifts them? And so Jesus went to the cross. And he died for us. He was a ransom for our sins, right? Because you know what? All of us have sinned. And the thing is this, when we sin, there is a penalty that is incurred, right? You know, like just like if you drive around at 80 miles an hour on Leaky Leaky, right? You know, the police are going to get upset, okay? And they catch you, there's a punishment, a penalty, right? Well, who can pay for that penalty? The reality is none of us can pay for ourselves. And if you could even find one perfect man or woman, if you could find that person and they would die for you, they could only pay for your sins, okay? But only God, Jesus Christ, the perfect human, could die, willingly go to the cross and die for all people's sins. When I was a young, before I was a Christian, I used to think, why is Christianity so complicated? Why does it have to have this person go to the cross and die on the cross and then die and rise from the dead? Why? And I realized later on, it had to be this way, right? All other religions try to make sacrifices, try to do something to appease God. And the reality is, the blood of goats, the blood of chickens, do not pay for the sins that I've committed. I mean, if you're like me, you know that there are sins that we do out here, and they're the sins in our heart, the things that are rebelling against God. How do we pay for that, right? All the religions talk about making sacrifices, but there is no way to pay for the sins in our life. I remember talking to a Muslim one time, and you know, he talks about how he does all these things. He prays 5 times a day. He faces Mecca. He has Ramadan, where he fasts all month. And I said, it's great. But at the end of the day, what do you do with your sin problem? Who will pay the price for your sins? And he's like, I don't know. Who can? Jesus, there is one who has paid the price for every person. The ultimate act of service was that Jesus Christ went to the cross to die for us. And I want to encourage you to always remember that. We just had Lord's Supper. You know, if we take the time, not just to remember it once a month, but we remember what Christ has done. This is a thought, that can strengthen us every day, right? We are called to be servants like the ultimate servant who gave his life for the whole world, right? I'm going to close in a time of prayer, and I'm just going to just close our eyes, and I'm just going to, I want you to think about it. I'm sure many of you are Christians here today, but if any of you are not believers yet, if you're a person who maybe you come to church, and I was like that for a while, I didn't become a Christian until I was 20 years old. But if you're a person just, you know, right now you've been coming and you've been seeking, you know what? But you're not sure if you want to give your life to Christ. I just want to give you a chance. If you've been holding back because you're not sure either if Jesus is worthy or if this thing really is true, I want to tell you right now, Jesus Christ is the most real person you will ever meet. There's no one who loves you more. I've been a Christian now since 1986. It's been 30 years. And on the night I became a Christian, I was scared. And I was like, man, I don't know. Maybe this whole thing will let me down. Just like every other philosophy I've ever held on to has let me down. Every person that I've put my faith in has let me down. And I was a little scared. But I remember hearing the gospel about God who loved me so much that he would die for me. He invites me in. He doesn't force me. He invites me in. And when I gave my life to him that night, there was no lightning bolts, no earthquake, but I woke up that next day and I knew my life would never be the same. He came into my life. The Holy Spirit has been working in me. Hey, brothers and sisters, I'm not perfect. I still make mistakes. I still sin. But my sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. And he is shaping me every day to have more courage, to have more boldness, to hear his voice more clearly. And I'm learning what it means to be a son of God, to be a servant of his kingdom. And if you've never taken that step, I just want to give you an opportunity. There is no better day than today to find out how good it is to be in the light of the Son of God. So if you're sensing that God is tugging your heart at all, I just invite you to pray this prayer along with me. Just pray along. You can pray in your own words, but pray this with all sincerity. You would say, Father God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that even though I'm a sinner, you died on the cross for me. And right now, I want to trust in you. I want to turn away from my sin. I want to follow after Jesus. Father God, would you allow your Holy Spirit to fill me? Would you live in me? Empower me. Make me into a son or daughter of the King. Adopt me into your family. Give me a sense of purpose and destiny. And be with me forever. I thank you, God, that you invite everyone into this relationship. Many are called, few are chosen, because few respond. But today, I choose to respond. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If that's you, with eyes closed, still, if that's you, if you prayed a prayer for the first time, if you just slip up your hand, just so we know who did that, so we know how to encourage you and pray for you. If anyone did that, just raise your hand. That's great. That's great. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands down. Father God, we thank you again. It's such an honor, God, to serve you. There's so few people who would die for me, who would die for each of us. There's so few people that know all the messiness in our heart, but you do. You know all the mess and yet you still love us. What kind of love is that? Amazing love. God, we pray that the truth of this thing will always resonate in our hearts. God, that we will be servants of the Most High God. That we will live a life worthy of the calling we have received. God, make us into sons and daughters whose hearts are open and generous and brave. Make us into sons and daughters that love supernaturally and love lavishly because of Jesus Christ. God, pour out, I pray right now, a more powerful anointing of the Holy Spirit to fall upon this body of Christ, this family of God. Fill us with such a love. May this church be known as a church who serves so well, that serves the Master, but knows how to love this world greatly. Make us into a powerful church for the kingdom of God, that the gates of hell will not prevail as this church steps out in faith. Thank you, God, for this time. You are so good. You're so good. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Walton, for that message. And we know we all need to hear that. And I realize as I hear the message, you know, there's so many things God has called us to do. Are you ready? Are you willing? Are you saying deep in your heart, Lord, whatever you're asking, I'm going to do it? Because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Instead of saying, what about that guy, maybe him, maybe her. No, God says, I chosen you. I called you to do great and mighty works for my kingdom's glory. And if you're ready, you're willing, you know God's going to allow his power to be displayed in your life. You're going to see miracles take place in your life simply because you said yes with your whole heart. And you know, I can see this in my brother. I mean, I told even the brothers and sisters at the park yesterday, the very fact, my brother, he's my mentor. I mean, he's the very one that saw me through many things that had happened in my life. And, you know, I got to tell you something, though. I remember when we were kids, though. Here's the thing. I know he shares a lot of things about me, you know, at his church. And, you know, I share a lot of things about him. And it's all true, right, what I say about him. But it's not always true, right, what you say about me. No, I'm just kidding. I know it's all true. But, you know, I remember there was this one time. I remember, you know, I'm not very good in math. I hate math, right? And I remember my brother, he always excels in math. And I got to tell you, even I remember in high school, he actually stayed after school to teach the teacher. I ain't kidding you, to teach calculus. And I know he's denying, but he loves math. And I remember when I was maybe 10 or 11 years old, you know, I remember I needed help in math. And, you know, we didn't get along and all that. And I admit, I did some things to him that weren't nice at all. Okay? But the very fact of the matter is, we never liked each other that much. So when I needed help, I remember I did something to him. And you know, my parents said, yeah, go help your brother, Walton. And then he would say, okay, I'll help you. For a book. I don't have too much money, okay, but I really need help. So I give him a buck, and then another problem comes along, and it's even more hard, right? Oh, that one is hard, Ben. That's going to cost you $2. I went, man. So I ran out of money, I think, eventually, and I tell my mom, Mom, I don't want enough money. Can you pay him to teach me? And then my dad would yell at him and say, why are you charging your brother to help him? But, you know, I realized over the years, right, as we came to know Christ, man, I've been through major stuff. I mean, some things that I really felt like I want to give up. Man, it's too hard. I remember even college where I was failing a class, and I was thought, man, it's hopeless, man. I'm going to fail, and you know, I'm going to disappoint my parents. I'm wasting my parents' money. I'm trying my best in this class, and I'm failing. And I called my brother and I said, I don't know what to do, Walton. I'm a failure. And I remember he would tell me, he said, Ben, no, you're not. You accepted Christ. God's going to help you. You cry out to Jesus. He's going to help you. And I remember I would call him and he would call me and said, Ben, I'm praying for you. You can do it. God loves you. Just trust in Jesus. He will give you strength. He will empower you. And I remember, you know, I just started to trust in God. I was kind of like a new Christian at the time, but I said, I'm going to trust in God then. And my brother is right there just encouraging me. Well, make a long story short, that F turned into a B. At the end of the semester, after a lot of studying, just believing in God, that F turned into a B. And I knew it was only through the power of God. I trusted in Him, and God showed me what to do, how to hook up with other, you know, smarter kids in the class. And I just did what was necessary, and I knew it was God that helped me through it. But even through the years, there are many trials. There are many things, you know, a lot of physical problems that I encountered, a lot of spiritual problems. And, you know, I know my family was right there beside me, you know, John Lee and my kids. But even my brother, I mean, he would tell me, Ben, I'm praying for you. I mean, he would call me up, Ben, I'm praying for you. Ben, don't give up, Ben. Trust in God. Believe in God. And even though I remember when I was turning 30, I wasn't married yet. You know, my brother said, trust in God. He's going to bring forth His best. He was always there for me. He always told me, look to God. Trust in God. And what I realized, he was showing me what it really means to be a servant of God. It's reaching others. It's touching other people's lives. And I got to share something with you. You know, just before he came up this morning, he was praying for someone in his congregation, someone who lost a loved one, right? And I'm thinking, man, this is right before he's going to come up here. And he's pouring his heart out. He's praying for someone. Man, this is what we call a servant of Christ. Always ready, always willing, not making excuses, saying, Lord, here I am. I'm going to be the one to touch this person's heart. And as we do that, you know, we please God. We say, Lord, whatever you ask, you want me to talk to that total stranger? I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell this person that, you know, God loves him. And sometimes we if you don't feel led to do that right away, you just say, brother, how can I help you? That's all it takes. Instead of saying, okay, it's not my business. I got too much on my plate. I got too many things I got to worry about. No, somebody else, help him. You know, we can easily do that. I can easily do that. But if the Holy Spirit is leading you to touch that person's heart, do it. Do it. Because as you touch this person's heart, let me tell you something. You're touching the very heart of Jesus. Because you're doing what the Father has called you to do. Amen? So let's move forward in the Spirit of God. And let's listen for His voice. And this is how you truly know that you are a follower of Christ. Amen? Well, I'm going to go ahead and bow our heads. Let's bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you, Lord, for my brother Walton as he has preached your message today. I pray that your word will simply grow deeper and stronger in our hearts. Let it sink so deep within our souls that as we truly live your word, we know how we're becoming more like Jesus. And as the scripture tells us, he says he has not come to be served, but he has come to serve. Our Lord and Master has come to serve. So much we should also have this attitude and say, Lord, I want to serve. And I pray, Father, as you truly touch our minds and our hearts and our souls, Lord, to do kingdom work, to say, Lord, I am a servant and I am so glad that I am. Lord, tell me what to do and I'll be glad to do it. And Father, we pray as we move forward in the Spirit of God, we're going to experience the fullness of your presence. Let your love, your peace, and joy just fill us up. We want to have it overflowing in our lives. As your love comes and fill our hearts, we want to just let that love just flow upon your people, upon your children, upon the people of the world, that they will truly know that Jesus Christ is alive in us. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you for what you started in our lives and what you will continue to do. Father, we say, have your way, Lord, because we trust in you and we just want to experience more and more of you. As we decrease, Father, may you truly increase in every way. We praise you, Father. We thank you, Lord. It's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Praise God.